You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Carson Wentz is introduced as the Colts quarterback. There he is going into gate 11A flying private. But you can't move on to the future, fellas. Sometimes you need to still look back at the past and evaluate. Here's Wentz on his ending in Philadelphia.
I'm not going to lie. It wasn't fun. It was difficult. But I did everything I could to still be supportive of Jalen and my teammates. And, you know, as a man, you have to look yourself in the mirror and you know, learn from it. You know, you got to just be intentional one by one, build those relationships. And like you said, respect is earned, not given. So I look forward to earning a lot of guys' respect. And, you know, I'm confident that will happen.
Nice sport quote. Kind of looks like something Peyton Manning would wear. Very fitting.
It's not nice
Max,
in the mind.
But we're focusing on... on the comments, not Stephen A. Yours is the best of everyone on television right now. Let's tell America one more time, right?
So
just take a victory. You should honestly start doing a runway victory lap and just showing off your looks, right?
Concrete runway.
When you do the open.
Concrete runway on Stephen A.'s world. That's what I call it. Concrete runway where I critique
oh, I haven't
dudes'
seen
outfits
that.
In the league. Concrete runway.
See how you don't remember
oh,
what
my
I wear.
God.
See that? You don't need to remember. What color is it? What it all looks the same, right?
Actually, just for before we start this segment, just as future reference to everybody out there, when I'm doing Stephen A's World, one day I'm going to bring Molly on with me to judge. To judge.
Good idea.
The judge.
Oh, I love it.
For the outfit.
I'll be all about it. I always wanted to be a judge on Project Runway or one of those shows. Yeah, I'm with it. Anytime.
That's right.
All right, Max, Carson Wentz, do you have a problem with his comments when he reflected on his time back in Philly?
I do. I want to like Carson Wentz. I really do.
No,
I want to like.
Don't.
I do. Mm-hmm. I thought he was the MVP. Molly and I were arguing. She was
that doesn't mean you want to like
Carson Wentz.
Him.
I do. That's what you don't understand.
I said Brady.
I did.
Because I'm the smart one.
I did. Well, of course.
He's trying to hold back the laughing. Now he know he's lying.
It's not
you want to like him?
I did.
I said Brady.
In fact, I
he said
did
Wentz.
Like Carson yeah. Wentz. I was a big booster of Carson Wentz here on this show.
Did with a
but
big D.
Is, right, but he makes it impossible. Look, he talks out of one side of his mouth about taking responsibility.
That's true.
And says it like he means it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, bet. This guy, fine, he's getting it. Right? He understands. And then there's always a but. I want to be the best of me. But, I mean, but, just take accountability. Well, I tried to be the best teammate I could to Jalen Hurts and the, really? To Jalen Hurts? Carson, why is it that before the first start of his professional career, all of a sudden it comes out in the media that Carson Wentz wants out? You're telling me the Eagles leaked that? What incentive would they have? What incentive would anyone have other than Carson Wentz's camp to put that out there on the day Jalen Hurts takes the ball for his first start? No, don't tell me you try to support, be as supportive as you could, or else the support you're able to give is not very much. You don't have it in you. But I don't believe that. I think he talks a good game about being accountable and being a leader. When it comes down to it, there is a but. But I tried. You know, I'm going to learn from this and grow from this and know what it is to be a leader and a better teammate. But, you know, I kind of already did that and it didn't work, so that's everyone else's problem. No, I hear the same old stuff from Carson Wentz as when he got up at the press conference, post-game press conference, after weeks of him turning the ball over, making bad decisions, the whole thing. Well, that's just the way we do it around here. It starts out with, I have to be accountable and this and that, I got to get better, but that's just the way we do it around here. You're going to have to live with my mistakes. No, I still don't think he gets it.
Friend of mine in Philadelphia, I'm not going to say his name because he didn't give me permission to do so, but very, very much connected to the Philadelphia sports scene. I'll just leave it at that. He texted me something just now, Max. And I just thought about it. I said, I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to read this to Molly. Just give me y'all initial reaction as to whether or not this makes sense. He said, Wentz got everything he wanted, $128 million, fired Peterson, yet he didn't want to compete against a guy described as a project quarterback drafted in the second round, not making more than $1.5 million. Basically, he wanted to be an affirmative action quarterback. How you feel about that? Makes sense to me.
I think that
makes sense to me. I mean, I didn't think about it that way, but I mean, like that.
I think that when you want the status that Wentz thought he deserved, you have to earn it. And Wentz thought he had earned something he hadn't. I understand there are some quarterbacks in the league, Stephen A., who are like, yo, I'm not competing for this job. It's my job. That's not Wentz.
I asked you for a quick answer because you had your time. Let me get mine now. Here's the reality of the situation. The only part I would disagree with him about is that the very existence of affirmative action is predicated on the fact that we didn't get a fair chance. We didn't get a fair opportunity. We've been operating behind the eight ball. You know, white America has given itself an incredible head start, okay? So when you use the word affirmative action, excuse me, if you are Carson Wentz, you were drafted number 2 overall, you balled. Because you balled, you got that contract. So I wouldn't quite put it that way. But what makes sense to me is the part where he says Carson Wentz did not want to have to compete. Carson Wentz thought he was entitled. Fair enough, but that ain't Carson Wentz's fault. That would be Eagles management fault, which is why it's so appalling that Howie Roseman comes out, it was either yesterday or the day before, talking about how Jalen Hurts is going to have to compete for the starting job. And the reason why we say that's appalling in its sense, because I have no problem with competition. My point is make sure you're consistent. Because the reality is that's not the impression you gave Carson Wentz. So if you didn't give Carson Wentz that impression and instead you gave him feelings of entitlement, why would you now turn around and not give that same courtesy to Jalen Hurts, particularly when owner Jeffrey Lurie has been on the record saying that's exactly what he wants Jalen Hurts to have coming into camp?
Well,
now, if you come into
there's
camp,
an answer to that.
Now, if you come into camp, you play like garbage, you're going to lose your job. You play like trash in the preseason, you're going to lose your job. You damn sure play like that in the regular season, you're going to lose your job. Fair enough. But in terms of what should be in our mind's eye coming into the season, in light of all that has transpired, Jalen Hurts performing reasonably well at times, Carson Wentz looking like trash, not playing as well as he could have played, having a struggling relationship with the head coach, ultimately leading to his firing. You ultimately get yourself shipped out of town, landing with a coach, your former quarterback's an offensive coordinator coach. Now the head coach in Indianapolis, you seem to keep you keep your money. You get the coach that you want. You're in a different city. You get to start anew and fresh. But now Jalen Hurts doesn't get the same courtesy.
I think there's
you
an answer
Carson
to that.
Wentz. That is problematic.
No, I think there's an answer to that. And oftentimes you will bring up the racial angle of something.
I'm not bringing that up now.
But I will say, and I'll say, yep, right on. In this case, I don't think Jalen Hurts was effective, more effective than Carson Wentz. But Carson Wentz showed early MVP caliber stuff.
Right.
Jalen Hurts has not shown that on the field.
Right.
He's shown some flashes of nice stuff, promising, but at two different levels of talent. I do think when you talk about affirmative action or some kind of racial component in Philly with the Eagles, Donovan McNabb was paid to be a franchise quarterback, and he was expected to make up for deficiencies. No excuses. He was benched. He came back.
He would have been treated without question.
Carson Wentz was treated with kid's gloves compared to Donovan McNabb, in spite of the fact that he didn't accept any of the responsibility of making up for deficiencies
and
leading that team.
And there's a lot of people that hold it against Donovan McNabb, acting like he hates on Carson Wentz or anything. That couldn't be further from the truth.
That's not
Donovan McNabb's M.O. Donovan McNabb's thing is the same as all of those former great players. Hold them, meaning the future, to the same accountability levels that you held the past to. Make sure your
critique. But that ain't Hurts.
I know that. Make sure your critique is consistent. The standard is consistent. Don't fluctuate it based on your preferences. And I respect that.
That's fair. I'll just say this, fellas. There's three sides to every story, right? There's Carson Wentz side, the Eagles side, and then there's the truth. But I look forward to seeing what Carson Wentz is really about, because he started off storybook Wentzylvania. He's taking over a program that is solid, that's winning, and we'll see what this guy's really made of, because he's in a great situation yet again.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Today's the anniversary of Michael Jordan's first game out of his first retirement. He scored 19 points in a loss to the Pacers, but as we know, went on to lead the Bulls in another three-peat. So that got us thinking, Max, I love these barbershop debates, even though I go to a hair salon. Which comeback was more impressive, MJ's or George Foreman's comeback in his 40s?
You're asking me? The answer is George Foreman.
What?
Clearly George Foreman.
Oh, yeah. What?
Most impressive comeback? It's got to be a trick question.
Oh, my God.
We did ask Max that.
Please.
Michael Jordan retires in his prime, comes back a year and a half later to Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman and Phil Jackson. Do you understand George Foreman? George Foreman loses to Muhammad Ali in, at that point, one of the biggest fights in boxing history in 1974.
Okay.
Couple fights later, loses to Jimmy Young, has a religious vision, decides to retire. We're still in the 1970s. Went through the whole Larry Holmes era in the 80s. No George Foreman. Where's Big George? Oh, he retired. He's a preacher now. Mm-hmm. 10 years after he retires, he comes back. Fights his way to a title shot against Holyfield. Loses, but goes the distance in a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
Gets another title shot against Michael Moore, who's the heavyweight champion of the world, the real lineal champ, and knocks him out. In 94, 20 years after he won the heavyweight championship, or sorry, after he lost the heavyweight championship to Muhammad Ali, he regains it. It's a new era. It's not the 70s anymore. It's the 90s. Foreman's a new man. He's not the sullen killer in the ring that everyone's scared of and doesn't want to talk to the press. He's the big, fat, happy dude who's selling grills. And reinvents himself, but wins the heavyweight championship of the world 20 years later? How is Jordan's comeback better than that? This I gotta hear.
First of all, let me tell you, this is unbelievable. I mean, you should be ashamed of yourself. Here's the deal, y'all. I would like to remind you of who the hell we're talking about here. This is Michael Jeffrey Jordan. I don't give a damn about, listen, Scottie Pippen, respect, all that other stuff. When Jordan came out of retirement, all right, who was in Orlando? It was Shaq. It was Penny. It was Nick Anderson
and
the crew.
The rooms.
I'm sorry. Reggie Miller and the crew were still in Indiana. All right. The New York Knicks were still the New York Knicks. Houston still had Olajuwon and the crew. And then what happened? Jordan came back and all of that stuff was put to rest. I'm not talking about the first 17 games, the last 17 games of the Rangers. I'm not talking about that season when he came back with 17 games. I'm talking about the when he came out of retirement and then they three-peated again. His three full seasons. I don't give a damn. They had Robin. Don't give a damn they had Pippen. Think about think about what we were thinking about Robin before they acquired him. He was such a head case. He was in San Antonio. He's in LA. I mean,
The Bulls got Rodman,
Are you
kidding me?
If he could keep his head on straight, because we know how wild he was, all right? But Jordan, again, leadership matters. And then you got to think about who you beat. You beat Sean Kemp before he became Sean Klopp, okay? Now you beat Utah twice. With Stockton and Malone, okay? And then you had to go through the Eastern Conference before it got soft as putty while doing so. Now, let me go to George Foreman. Nothing but respect. Nothing but respect for George Foreman, but here's the deal.
You're talking about Foreman now. You know you get away with it. You wouldn't have done this in the 70s.
Not in the 70s. I mean,
you got it, George.
Listen, I told this story before. My father cried before Ali fought Foreman. All of this noise they make about Mike Tyson, and we love Mike.
They thought he was going to kill him.
They thought Ali was going to die.
Yeah. Ali's
That's
own people
how menacing.
That.
Yeah. That's how menacing George Foreman was. Let me throw some of these names out, Max Kellerman. So after he comes out of retirement in 70, he disappears for 10 years.
Steve Zuski,
Charles Hostetter, yeah. Bobby Crabtree, mm-hmm. Tim Anderson, mm-hmm. some dude named Rocky Sikorsky, mm-hmm. Tom Trim, mm-hmm. the white Muhammad Kawi, he was respectable.
I get little, that. Though. Little.
Frank Lux. You understand what I'm saying? This ain't that dude from the movies.
It was Glass Joe? John he fought Claude Glass Van Joe? Damme.
Okay. Carlos Hernandez. Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah, I know he beat Michael Bora. I get all of that.
Knocked out Jerry Cooney.
Excuse me. Really? Don't do that to me, because I love Jerry Cooney. Stop. You really?
I believe
stop.
He beat Smoking Burt Cooper.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Cooper
I mean,
came home with a good fight.
Come on, man. Listen, I respect the hell out of George Foreman. I truly, truly do. One of the great fighters in heavyweight history, no doubt about it, in boxing history. I love him. But the point that I love the grills, I love the announcer that George Foreman. I love everything about George Foreman. But don't tell me it was a better comeback
Hold
than
on.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan is a better that. Basketball player than George Foreman was a boxer,
well,
right?
I mean, we're okay. not debating that.
But in terms of comebacks, Stephen A.
Come on,
to
man.
Come back 20 come on, years man. After you win the title, could you imagine if Michael Jordan stepped away from basketball for 10 years and came back and won a title 20 years
basketball
after he won the first one?
Basketball is a different sport, but what I'm trying to tell you is this. Listen, the victory over Michael Moore to capture the heavyweight crown at age 45
Knocked him out.
Was a phenomenal. Don't get me started with Michael Moore in that fight. I mean, talk about a stationary target. Just put it. Why did you?
Foreman moved him to the right hand, left hook to the
really?
Body. Yes,
really?
He started
That's
throwing the hook to the body.
That's
moved him into the right
he
hand.
He moved him into the right hand. Listen, everybody knows Jordan's power. I mean, like George Foreman was powerful. That's all he had at that particular moment in time. And at that
guile.
All right. Listen, and Michael Moore just stood there with his jaw out. Hey.
He had
hit
just
me.
Beaten Holyfield.
Hit me.
Moore beat Holyfield.
Hit me. Okay, I'm right here for you to hit me. Really? I mean, just stop it. Come on, man. And we saw what happened to Michael Moore when he fell against two and all of these boys. I mean, come on, man.
20 years after losing to Ali, he wins the title.
It was an impressive feat. But Michael Jordan and three beats against
the heavyweight champ.
Stop, Mac. 18
months.
Stop. Look, you see those names I gave you?
Pippen and Rob.
I mean, come on, man.
Better competition for Jordan, yes. More impressive comeback for him.
See? What did I tell you?
Please.
I love these hair salon debates. They're always fun. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's keep it moving. LaMelo Ball balled out in the Hornets' loss to the Lakers, scoring 26 points and adding 7 assists. But another rookie was turning heads last night as the Timberwolves' Anthony Edwards scored 42 points in a win versus the Suns. Stephen A., Rookie of the Year. Is LaMelo the clear-cut Rookie of the Year over Edwards? Talk to me.
I would tell you for the moment, he is. I would definitely say that LaMelo Ball has been absolutely impressive. He's definitely my Rookie of the Year. as we speak. I want to commend LaVar Ball. He takes so much criticism because of his bravado and what he has said about his sons and how he thrusted them into the public. I personally believe he's the reason that Lonzo Ball was picked number two overall, because he made his son Lonzo so marketable that the businessman, the brilliant businessman that is Irvin Magic Johnson, could not pass on the brother from Chino Hills and said, hey, I got to take him instead of De'Aaron Fox. It is the only argument that Magic Johnson and I have ever gotten into in all my years of knowing the basketball savant that he is. I've never disagreed. I've never even challenged Magic Johnson on anything basketball related until he was talking about making that pick, because I firmly believed De'Aaron Fox should have been picked ahead of Lonzo Ball. And I still feel that way to this very day. But Lonzo has improved. He's showing a lot. Max, you pointed out during the commercial break how the Clippers are looking at him. I hope they get him. I think he'd be a good asset because Mark Stein, you know, our former colleague here at ESPN, he reported that the Clippers are interested in Lonzo Ball. I'd like to see that happen. I think that would be a good thing. But LaMelo special. And when I spoke to Michael Jordan about him months ago, Michael Jordan raved about his confidence, how he ain't scared of anything, how he's assertive and aggressive, and now he thinks he's going to be special. And sure enough, he's been inserted into the starting lineup, and he's been averaging over 20 a game, like 20 and 6. LaMelo, to me, is a floor general. He's got a high basketball IQ. He passes exceptionally well. And all that bravado that his father put out there about him appears to be right on the money. Very, very accurate. But I will say this. This kid, Anthony Edwards, right here, he's averaging 16 and 4 on the season, dropped 42 last night. This brother has the potential to be D-Wade with hops. Not that D-Wade couldn't jump at all.
So this is different.
But this is different. The athleticism that Anthony Edwards has on him is a different animal. Anthony Edwards is special. And he looks like a dude that's going to be special. And I don't have any problem with Minnesota picking him over LaMelo, because you know what? They needed a floor general in Charlotte. You know, because Rozier can ball. He can ball. Graham can ball. I like those guys. But you need a quintessential floor general. When you look at LaMelo Ball, that's what they needed in Charlotte. Although they need everything in Minnesota, you need something like an Anthony Edwards to be in Minnesota, you know, playing with Carl Anthony Towns. I like Anthony Edwards a lot. I really do. He's a special. I think he's a future star in this league. But I do think that LaMelo Ball is going to run away with Rookie of the Year.
I don't think they drafted Anthony Edwards on need. I think what they did was they looked at Anthony Edwards and said, this dude is different athletically.
Yeah, he's different.
And he has the most upside. Let's take him. And I was skeptical of that pick. I thought he just can't shoot. But you know something about Anthony Edwards? He shoots. He doesn't shoot a lot of free throws yet, but he shoots almost 80% from the free throw line. And that's really a better indicator long term of shooting ability, even from the outside, probably than anything else. Because his field goal percentage is under 40%. And his three-point percentage is under 32%. So right now, based on his efficiency, they're both 19 years old, by the way, Anthony Edwards is not quite even yet an average NBA player when you add it all up. You'd like more. But it is quite clear to me already he's not going to be an average NBA player. He is going to be exceptional if it continues like this, and maybe have more upside than LaMelo Ball. But Stephen A., right now, the Rookie of the Year has to be LaMelo Ball. It's not close between the two this year.
This year.
LaMelo Ball is right now playing at kind of an all-star level. He's not an average NBA point guard. He's much better than
and here's what
that.
I want to say.
Saying a lot.
And here's what I want to say about LaMelo, too. And that's not to say that Anthony Edwards, wouldn't be this. Melo's box office.
Yeah. Melo's got Anthony Edwards going to be box office.
Anthony Edwards is going to be box office, too. But LaMelo is box office. And that's a big deal. The brother's a floor general, but he's got that swag to his game, too. Not to say that Anthony Edwards does not, because we know he does.
They're
two different players. But I'm telling you, when you look at LaMelo, LaMelo makes others better.
Yeah,
Anthony Edwards is just going to be, I think that he's going to be a dominant scorer. I think within the next 3 years, Anthony Edwards will be averaging 24, 25 a game. and he will be a perennial all-star.
And he's got to shoot it better. And he's showing from the line that he's potentially, he can shoot it better. Yes. They both have things at 19 you can't teach. Like, Anthony Edwards, the stuff you can't teach is obvious. You can't teach someone how to jump like that.
That's right.
But LaMelo also has stuff you can't teach. Because it's one thing to get better court vision, to become a better passer. He has, like, a supernatural ability.
Yeah,
he's not saying LaMelo has. LaMelo's court vision and passing ability, I don't think is something you can teach.
You can't
teach.
He shoots better.
An extra part of his brain somewhere.
And he shoots better than we thought he could.
Yeah.
And you watch and listen.
Shoot 38% from three.
As a rookie, do you see guys? You got cats grabbing rebounds, and they got the ball. Or you got, I'm talking about not just centers and power forwards. You got guards literally grabbing the rebound. Everyone is looking for LaMelo to give him the ball to lead the break.
Of course.
What that reminds you of?
Yeah,
the great point guards, Magic, and people like that. They're looking. They're grabbing the ball. Where's LaMelo? Where's LaMelo? Where's LaMelo? They want him to lead the break because he's such a beautiful passer.
Yeah.
They know he's going to get everybody involved. He's leading this team. He's special. LaMelo is special. And I want to congratulate LaVar Ball on that because he gets a lot of criticism.
Lonzo's really good.
LaMelo's really good. LaVar Ball deserves credit. He told us, and he wasn't lying.
But real quick,
he wasn't lying.
I like about the Ball brothers, this goes for both of them that are in the NBA right now, it doesn't seem to me they care about their stats. I never get the feeling, but I always get the feeling they're always looking to make the winning play. They just want to help the team
They
win.
Leave the bravado to their father.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
both of you guys have him as the rookie of the year right now. Fell, sorry to cut you off, but we got Marcus Spears waiting for us. So let's get to this next NFL topic here. So many expect Jalen Hurts to be the man in Philadelphia after trading Carson Wentz. But Eagles GM Howie Roseman might have people wondering if that's the case after speaking yesterday. Take a listen.
We only have one quarterback on our roster, so it's definitely not going to stay that way. And we've always tried to value that position and to have depth at that position. And I don't see any of that changing here as we go forward. That's nothing that we would be comfortable with. We're going to look at the free agent market. We're going to look at the trade market. And we're certainly going to look at the draft to try to strengthen that position.
There he is, Swagoo in the flesh. We'll see him on NFL Live a little later today. Thanks for joining the party. Late, but we're happy you're here. Max, tell me this. Do the Eagles owe Hurts a chance to start the season, Max, after what he did last year?
No, they don't owe him anything. If I were the Eagles, I think he'd be my starter, and I'd want to devote all the resources I have to putting the best team around him. And I say that because as soon as he took over, the offense responded and the team responded. Guys like playing with him. That's not enough. You got to be able to make the plays. But look at the Arizona game, which was a loss. Look at the way he competed. Look at some of the plays he made in that game against Kyler Murray's crew. He showed real potential. He might be an excellent quarterback. That said, he might be an excellent quarterback. This is not a high first round pick. It took him in the second round. You invested draft capital in him. But it's not like you traded up and picked them second overall like Wentz. Nor do I see that kind of upside ability with Hurts, what I saw from Wentz early in his career. So while I would make the choice to use whatever I have to surround him with the right team, I don't think they owe it to Hurts. I don't think it's like that quite. I think if they, for example, identify a quarterback in the draft who they love and they weren't expecting to be there, you could draft that guy. I think if the right deal becomes available for, you know, let's say it was Russell Wilson, let's say Philadelphia became one of the teams he put on his list, I think you could go all in on a player like that. So has he earned a starting job? I think he has, but not to the level where you go, they owe it to him.
I think they owe it to him, but I'm not talking about the regular season. I'm talking about training camp and preseason. This is our guy. It's his job to lose. I think you owe him that. With all the nonsense that you've surrounded him with and what have you, I would never sit up there and say somebody's owed a starting job. If you play like garbage when you have the opportunity to prove yourself, you ain't owed a damn thing. But for the purposes of structure, cohesiveness, and just some kind of stability, I think you walk into training camp,
this is our guy. I think you walk into the preseason, this is our guy. This is why this is why we got rid of Carson Wentz.
But they don't owe it to you. They owe it to him.
That's why I'm saying. For those purposes, I said specifically, that's why I'm saying training camp and preseason. Nothing more. Nothing more. I'm talking about the first preseason game. I'm talking about training camp. In other words, anybody that comes in here, that's the guy you got to take the job from. Because guess what? We're looking at Carson Wentz. We booted him out of there. We saw what he played like trash. We saw the dysfunctionality that reeked through this franchise. We surrounded this dude with all of this noise, all of these distractions, all of this nonsense. And still, he went out there and he performed for us, maintained discipline, performed to the best of his ability, learned during the process of that dysfunctionality reeking through the franchise, gave us some kind of hope to move forward. I'm not saying, again, give him the starting job permanently. I'm not even saying giving it to him for the second preseason game. I'm just saying for the purposes of stability, you walk in, that's the guy. You want us to put you ahead of him? You need to outplay him because we're looking at him as the future of the franchise until further notice. I see nothing wrong with that, particularly if we're not talking about regular season games.
Yeah, Stephen, now you're talking about endorsing them, but I'm just like, what's up today? It's Friday. You feel nice. You want to like
I got emotional. Nice. No, I'm just looking smooth. That's all. I mean, you can say it. Well, you can say it. You wish you had this jacket on right now, don't you, Pastor Speed?
Oh my God. I'm trying to figure out what in the hell Beetlejuice doing on First Take. That's what I'm trying to figure out. But I'm gonna leave that in another arena. Let's talk about Jalen Hurts.
Usually I'm the one.
Listen, you do know I call Max Beetlejuice, right? I call Max Beetlejuice because of those eyes.
Oh, do
I
you?
Have the eyes. He has the jacket.
Oh, okay. All right. There we go. That was a good one. The jacket reminded me of that. It was a good movie.
All right.
But when we're talking about Jalen Hurts, man, listen, you're not owed anything. Let's be honest, y'all. Jalen Hurts played four games, right? And he did raise the level of play at the quarterback spot, but that wasn't hard to do. Nick Foles raised the level of quarterback play in Chicago for like 10 minutes. And then we all sitting here now with Andy Dalton as the starter. Bottom line is, I understand what both of you are saying, but I'm in the vein with Max. No, they don't owe him to be the starter. They don't owe him to come in camp as the starter. Did Jalen Hurts show you enough that he can have success in this league? Absolutely. Did he show you enough, though, to say this is the guy that we gonna lend this franchise to and give? No, and it's a part because he hadn't had that much of an opportunity, but also because you didn't take Jalen Hurts in the top 10, top 5 and determine that he was that guy. You took him as an insurance policy to Carson Wentz because Carson Wentz dealt with injury and was struggling in times throughout his career. Bottom line is, Philadelphia needs to have an open competition at quarterback depending on who they get. That is the caveat. The caveat is there a veteran that we identify? I don't see one, y'all. But in this draft where they sit at 6, if they've identified a guy along with what Max was saying that they think is a significant upgrade or can be an upgrade to Jalen Hurts, you come into that camp saying, hey, fellas, we both are going to compete to see who the starter will be. Nobody's starting with a head start. Everybody's on the same playing field, and this is how we're going to move forward with
you
it.
Know who's,
now,
you
Jalen
know,
Hurts played 9-10 games and showed some things. That'll be different. Man, we're talking about 4 games that Jalen Hurts has played.
Let me ask you a question,
Marcus. Don't get it twisted. I want Jalen Hurts to succeed and be the starter in Philly. I think he's built for it. He's dealt with this type of adversity before. I think he thrives in this type of situation. With that being said, we talking about the NFL, fellas. This is built on competition.
Let me ask you a question.
And seeing if you can get better at positions.
Let me ask you a question in all seriousness, because you know you played in the NFL. We didn't. You tell me the difference between you being a part of a team that walks in the training camp with no damn clue whatsoever as to who the guy is going to be at the quarterback position compared to a team that says, this is our guy until further notice. Is there any difference of that to that in your mind?
Nah, Stephen A., because look, and it's a great question, and this ain't a fight. I want to see who is the best in practice. I want to see who is the guy that we feel like gives us the best chance to win. I was in Dallas when Drew Bledsoe was the starter, and Tony Romo was running scout team against the number one defense. And it was so clear that Tony Romo was the better option from a defensive view, because we playing against this guy. We seeing him operate. That is how you create competition. That is how you actually put a quarterback in position to lead your football team by him grinding and winning it out.
Yeah,
and
this is a particular situation. But coming off what happened last year, I'm just talking about what you chronicled, what I've chronicled, what Max has chronicled as the dysfunctionality reeking through the Eagles franchise. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying, because of the residue left behind from the whole Carson Wentz fiasco. Doesn't that play a role in terms of stability just walking into training camp? That's all I'm asking.
Steve, I got you. Yes, it creates stability, but it does not tell you that that's the best situation. I understand what you're saying. I totally understand knowns and not having to guess who the guy be. But if you know who the quarterback is and he not the guy that's going to get you the wins based on what you're watching.
Like, what are we talking about?
What
are we talking about, Stephen A? Are we talking about he's going to get reps with the first team? And whoever they bring in gets reps with the second team unless he outperforms them and they switch?
To answer your question, you're talking about that. To answer your question, yes. But you're also talking about it right now because the draft is a month away. And so what I'm saying is with the draft approaching, what's the mentality? Because now if we're going to sit up there and say it's an open competition, then we're talking about how the Eagles should draft a quarterback. If we're going to say we believe in Jalen Hurts, then we're talking about them drafting somebody else. And that's where we are.
This is why I said, if the Eagles look at a guy in this draft, let's say they're, I don't know, out of the five top quarterbacks, they think two of them are probably better than Jalen Hurts, right? If one of those dudes is sitting there at six, you're going to take him. You're going to take him. And then you go in with a competition or whatever. But otherwise, I would agree with this. They should go in, they have enough resources to start to put a real team around Jalen Hurts. And if the question is, did he show enough to believe you could build a team around him? I say that's worth a try, but not if they have a guy out there they love. Then, look, Hurts didn't do enough to say, this is my job heading into training camp, you got to take it from me. Not to me.
And also, Max, what you said about him not doing enough, he also didn't have enough opportunity. Which is fine, right? But to that point, and that's the thing that because this conversation gets convoluted when people are thinking you saying Jalen Hurts shouldn't be the starter and he ain't good. That's not the point. The point is when teams identify guys that they think can turn out to be better franchise quarterbacks, they should take them because you're convicted in that thought. Now, outside of that, when we get to football after the draft and when you've made these decisions, that is when it lends itself to the competition aspect. But to y'all point and what we talking about, the Philadelphia Eagles gonna tell us what they think about Jalen Hurts on draft day. And if they draft a quarterback, then we are not having a conversation about Jalen Hurts walking into the clubhouse as the guy. Because if you took a guy that high, he is the guy, either now or eventually at some point during the season. Y'all remember how this played out with Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a part of the quarterback conundrum in the NFL. Mitchell Trubisky on another team. Andy Dalton has been named the starter in Chicago. When you get these things wrong, this is what you go through. But when you have an opportunity
to
maybe have two really good players and compete, you do it.
Yeah. That was a perfect tee up for me. Guys, I want to get into this next topic because I find it very interesting. So Carson Wentz obviously formally introduced as a cult yesterday. We played that sound for you earlier. He'll look to try to turn things around after ending the season on the bench in Philly. Obviously, he's joining a solid team. But this is why I find this so interesting, Stephen A., and Max just alluded to it. Just the fact that there's so many unique storylines about quarterbacks this offseason, so many people looking for redemption. Which quarterback do you think will be under the most scrutiny this season?
Me personally, I've just said Dak Prescott, but I'm not thinking just football. I'm thinking about the brand that he represents. I'm thinking about the fact that he's a black quarterback. I'm thinking about the fact that the contract that he received is one of, if not, one of the highest in the history of football. You're talking about him getting a $66 million signing bonus. You're talking about him making scheduled to make $75 million in 1 year. I'm thinking about that level of scrutiny, just those facts
playing for the Dallas Cowboys. If this brother goes out there and plays worse than we've seen him play, and Dallas isn't good, and Dallas doesn't make the playoffs, oh, my God. I don't even want to imagine what that would be like for him. Now, I don't see that happening to Dak Prescott. I believe in Dak Prescott. I'm happy that he got his money. He deserved it, particularly the way that he played the market. I have no issues with it whatsoever. I'm just saying, if after all of this, you turn around and you don't produce, playing for the Dallas Cowboys, being all, you know, taking into account all the other things that I said, it will be bad.
I mean, look, I think they'll have excuses for Dak. First of all, the Cowboys don't have a defense. Second of all, they don't really have a coach. Let's be honest. McCarthy lost his job with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback. And look at what a guy who hadn't been a head coach came in and did in Green Bay. Immediately turned it around, and they're winning 13 games a year, and they're making playoff runs. Dak played very well when last seen on the field healthy. They went 8-8, right? Like, so as long as he does that, he's taking care of his end of the deal. And that was 8-8 in the worst division anyone had ever seen until this year's NFC East. The guy under the most pressure, in fact, is Matthew Stafford. Because when you think about what L.A. gave up to get him, they gave up Jared Goff, the number one overall pick once upon a time, two-time Pro Bowler, took a team to his, was on a Super Bowl team, and was excellent for most of that year. Two firsts and a third to bring in Stafford. And who's Matt Stafford? Stafford is a guy who's always been considered elite arm talent. But he's just in the wrong situation in Detroit. Yeah, he doesn't win a lot in the play, hasn't been to the playoffs a lot, doesn't win in the playoffs, but it's really not his fault. We're going to find out because he's got a great young head coach who's an offensive mind. He's got a team that's excellent on both sides of the ball, and Goff, who's considered two firsts and a third worse than him, Goff got him to a Super Bowl. Oh, no. There's going to be no excuses for Matt Stafford, and it's going to change the way we look at his entire career so far. Too bad Stafford was in Detroit all that time. Look at him. He really was a great quarterback. Or, oh, no. It wasn't Detroit. Maybe the problem was Stafford. That dude is under the most pressure.
I got a question. Can I ask a question? Like, scrutiny and pressure, are we considering them the same thing? Like, what is... Define this for me, guys.
I am. For me, that's the way I was looking at it. That's the way I was looking at it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we all know Dak is going to be under the most scrutiny if he don't have success. It's not even close. Max, you know that damn well, as everybody else in America knows, that if Dak doesn't perform well, as long as we've been talking about this long, drawn-out contract situation, the idea of what happens to teams when they pay quarterbacks a certain amount of money, all of the things that come along with being a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, right? That's scrutiny to me. That is the scrutiny. Now, pressure is on Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz has the most pressure of any quarterback in the NFL because Carson Wentz left the Philadelphia Eagles and went to a playoff team. He went to a team that's already built to make a run at winning a Super Bowl. They are built that way. I don't want people to get it misconstrued. Obviously, they lost Costanza. They're going to fix the offensive line. They are as good as anybody in this league when you talk about personnel and how they put a team together. Darius Leonard said it. Come here to win. We don't care about your past. We don't care about the things that transpired wherever you were. We have a standard, and you come here to win. Carson Wentz doesn't play well. If he has a bad year, you will not, Max, you will be the main guy.
Yeah, I think Wentz is a great call. I'll say this.
Carson Wentz. So neither one of those guys will be under more scrutiny. Now, under more scrutiny.
We'll call it scrutiny.
Scrutiny will be Dak Prescott. Pressure will be Carson Wentz.
Well, look, scrutiny, I understand Prescott, but we already know how he performs. He's established a baseline, and as long as he does that, which why wouldn't he? He's done that before. They might win 8 games. They might win 7 or 6. They might win 9 or 10.
Max,
he won't be blamed for the defense.
No.
Let me tell you something. Carson Wentz is
Max,
a good call for scrutiny. But Matthew Stafford, there are the most questions about his entire career and what he's going to bring to the Rams in L.A. right now.
But Max, they just gave Dak 140, 160, whatever the number is. You know that
75
picture has changed.
Year.
You know it has
Carson,
changed.
They just gave him $40 million per year.
Dak Prescott, when he'll put up numbers, the offense will be fine. Be in the same conversation.
But if they're not, if they don't put up numbers, if they lose because their offense isn't good, whoa. Period.
No, Rams better not take a step back.
All right.
All right, y'all.
Marcus, what's coming up on NFL Live at 4 Eastern? You got anything good you're going to talk about?
He better.
Oh, you know, we're going through Carson Wentz. We're talking about Dak. And I'm going to talk about that Beetlejuice suit Stephen A. got on right now.
You do that. You know it's fly.
Yeah, how do you like it?